ICT solutions company EOH released their annual results today. For the 12 months ended July 2019, the company reported revenue of 11.8 billion rand, down 2.6% on the year prior. It reported a headline loss per share from continuing operations of 1,352 cents, and that compares with the positive headline earnings per share number of 728 cents in the year prior. The company has been hit by massive once-off impairments in the period under review, one being to the tune of some 2.2 billion rand. The company has suffered huge reputational damage as its governance levels have been called into question, and a report it commissioned showed that millions of rand were used improperly. Well, to get us up to speed with where EOH is at, I'm joined on the line by Megan Pidagagu. She's the finance director at EOH. Thanks very much, Megan, for joining us as always. So when we look at your top line, the revenue line, that came off a bit, as I mentioned, 2.6%. Is this directly correlated to the weaker economy, or is there also an element that perhaps EOH lost customers due to the reputational storm that you've had to endure?
So I think the answer is probably yes to both. So the economy has definitely been difficult for us these past 6 months especially. And from a reputational issue perspective, especially in our ICT business, we have felt the effect of that, especially in our hardware business where we saw a slowdown in the second 6 months. And that's probably one of the easiest places for our customers to swap out.
Yes.
But we have, however, been engaging significantly with our customers. And after our ENS report came out in mid-July, I think we're in a better place with a lot of our customers. And we've also had people who've actually taken their blacklisting off us and wanted to re-engage and do business with us.
Right. So as I mentioned, you suffered huge impairments. What's the story behind those, particularly that 2.3 billion rand one?
Yeah, so I think if you look at the impairments in total, we put through just over 5 billion of impairments, and it's spread between the 2 years. So there's 3 billion that sits in the 2019 financial year, and then we also went and adjusted the 2018 year by about 2 billion. The biggest impact in the current year has really been around our goodwill impairments, which we impaired close to 1.9 billion. And then the other part has been we had investments in Zimbabwe of close to 900 million sitting on the balance sheet at the 31st of July last year. And we took about 550 million of that to the prior year. And then we also had a loan with a business that we had unwound. We had originally acquired it, and then there were some issues around it, and we unwound it and sat with a 424 million liability, well, payment waiting for them to pay us, and we've had to impair that by 414 million as well.
Right.
And I think the other part has been, if we look at EOH in the past, it has been highly acquisitive, and growing revenue and profit have been the focus of the business. And going through the balance sheet and looking at the cleanup, there's probably been a bit of overzealous recognition of revenue that was never going to result in cash. And also there had been work in progress, basically costs sitting on our balance sheet related to projects that we've cleaned up off the balance sheet and taken as write-offs between the current year and last year.
Right. So what assets did you have to sell off to shore up your balance sheet in the year under review? And what other assets have you earmarked? And how do you ensure that they're not fire-type sales, you know, such that you avoid not getting the value that you should get for them?
So I think if you look at our debt position, we're probably sitting with a debt around just close to 3 billion. And we largely a services business, so a services business can't carry that level of debt. So we've just actually concluded with our banks a plan to deleverage our balance sheet and probably reduce our debt by 2021 to 1.5 billion, so halving our debt. So we've had a very focused approach in terms of how we've looked at disposals, and effectively there were a whole lot of businesses that were non-core to an ICT player that we have looked to exit. And then we've also got IP businesses which are actually really valuable. And the one deal that we did relates to our CCS business, which is a construction sector software business. And we sold that business on an 8.5 times multiple of EBITDA to a German business that's listed on the Frankfurt Stock Exchange that has access to global markets. So from our perspective, we've kept a 30% interest in that. And immediately we've been able to scale that IP business globally. So they've got a go-to-market strategy from their relationship now with RIB, and they got also get access to their IP.
Yes.
So their time to market is far shorter. And I think that's probably a perfect example of what we'd like to do with some of our IP assets. So I don't think there are too many people who get 8.5 times multiples of EBITDA. So definitely no fire sale.
Okay, no, cool. I understand. So Megan, we know that apart from running the business, a lot of time and effort has gone into restoring the governance structure of the company.
Yes.
And you've hired a myriad of experts to investigate the shenanigans that took place historically. What progress has been made in this regard? And are there any parties now facing consequences, you know, for any of the malfeasance that was uncovered?
So in July, we came out with our provisional ENS report, where we reported to the market that there was suspect payments of $1.2 billion. We are now at a place where we can verify that $315 million was for valid work, and then you're left with $935 million that was not for valid work. Mm. And there was $665 million related to effectively bogus contracts where there was no work done, so money stolen from EOH.
Mm.
Then there were also another way of taking money out of the company was giving enterprise development loans, and the intention was never to get those to be repaid, and that's about $90 million.
Sure.
And then there also had been some overbilling to our customers of $180 million that we've identified. So what we have done is we have reported this to the FIC, and we've lodged 7 Section 34 reports, and I think between the FIC and SAPS, criminal investigations are now underway related to these.
Right. So EOH talks about being committed to future-proofing the company. What are you doing to future-proof? And despite the difficulties both at the economy level and EOH-specific, are you seeing any room for investment and growth? Are you guys, given the fact that you guys are in an industry that is fast-moving and basically pervades all sectors and the wider economy?
So in terms of future-proofing, I think the first thing is putting the right governance structures in place. And I think it's really been a lesson. If you don't have governance in place, how much it can end up costing you. And it's probably cost EOH 4 billion rand when you look at all the write-offs and money that's gone out of the business.
Hmm.
So that's probably been one of our biggest priorities this year. And then we've also been working on our strategy and seeing what does the EOH of tomorrow look like. And I think we've come a long way in terms of identifying that, and it's basically broken up into our IP assets, which I spoke about earlier,
yes,
and then our traditional ICT play, which is broken into three pillars, being consulting and advisory, which is a very nice way to sell into customers and sell solutions. Then we've got our traditional systems integration, which is enterprise applications, software reseller, hardware and connectivity. And then the last pillar is around system solutions. And I think this is probably the potential growth vector for us and plays into the fourth industrial revolution. And that's around application development, cloud, automation, IoT, and then data and analytics. And just from our perspective, a lot of businesses had been bought and they were very modular and small and all left to run on their own. The opportunity for us is that if we get everyone talking together and harnessing the good of the whole, I think going forward, we could be a formidable force from a fourth industrial revolution perspective, because we've got all the building blocks to make a great business.
All the very best, Megan. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you,
thank you very much. That was Megan Pidagagu. She's the finance director at EOH.